The Legacy Saga may contain subject matter not suitable for all audiences. Specific content warnings are available in the episode description.
The tale of Aurora Nova, rescue our world from the darkness. Abathar, Cortez, Atara, Saban and Rowan and Nyar.
It was early morning. A light fog hung over the range as the archery team of Morrowstone performed their drills. 14 students stood in a line, each holding the same form, 30 meters from 14 targets. Each, at their own pace, emptied their quiver into the hay, at which point...
Halt!
The team crossed the range to their targets. While most took this moment to converse with their teammates, Atara Marsk, however, always walked silently and alone, despite standing mere feet from her teammates. This time, she pulled her arrows from the innermost red ring and the yellow bullseye, and returned to her stand.
Clear!
The archers began emptying their quivers once more. Far at the opposite end of the range from Atara, Benedict Drakos emptied his quiver, demonstrating his speed to hide his inaccuracy. In the position next to Atara, Oliver Cromwell practiced the inverse, sacrificing rapidity for high accuracy. Atara made no such sacrifices. With swiftness, she drew an arrow from her quiver and pulled the string taut. Less than a second later, it thwacked into the target, never into the black and blue outer rings.
If I'm being honest, I think she has an unfair advantage. Of course the star archer would be a barbarian like her. I mean, come on. Think of all those innocent animals. Children. That she's chased down for dinner. I've only practiced on stationary targets. You know, I don't even care that I didn't get picked to compete at the festival. It's better to let the people who need the prize money fight each other for it.
Ooh, Benedict, great one!
Hey, Benedict, can I borrow some coins, please?
Hey.
Hey?
Don't listen to what Benedict says. He's, well, you know, a dick.
Already wasn't.
Well, I don't believe all that shit he talks about.
Do you think I care what he says?
No,
Hey, Cromwell! Be careful! You're standing next to a wild animal.
Hey, it's best you just don't talk to me. Otherwise, you'll end up dealing with his shit directly, too.
Yeah, okay.
Pull clear, pull clear. The cycle continued until their coach dismissed the archers an hour before classes began. Atara followed the team into the locker room to towel off. It was morning. The Tower of Morrowstone cast its shadow over Blackwood's dockworkers as they prepared their shipments to the eastern parts of the province. In the four curved buildings surrounding the towers, students awoke in their dorms, or continued to sleep despite their upcoming classes. Professors finalized the day's lessons. Cooks and cafeteria workers prepared breakfast for the impending waves of students and faculty. Naya Highwatch arrived on time for her 8 o'clock class. While the faces and uniforms of other students revealed the early morning strain, no flaw showed in Naya's appearance or demeanor. Though she detested the tedious hours of etiquette training that ruled much of her 18 years, it had succeeded in instilling a discipline in her. A discipline that got her to bed on time to wake up sufficiently rested. This morning, she sat through a lecture discussing the use of magic in Highgate.
Magic and its practitioners. Can anyone tell me why this is? Yes, Mr. Musania?
When the Golden Age ended so horribly, the oligarchy determined that it was wild magic that had caused the great pestilence, and decided further great catastrophes could be avoided with restrictions on the use of magic.
That is correct. While that was
contrary
proved,
to the usual enthusiasm with which she approached class, Naya tuned out and waited for the topic to change. The elven girl had long ago recognized that her intimate connection to nature was atypical. As she matured, it became clear to her that the connection was magical and against governmental sanctions. To hear her connection scorned in lessons like this one used to fill her with fear and sorrow. But now she knew to sit back and metaphorically roll her eyes. If authorities wanted to criminalize something that was as much a part of her as her pointed elven ears, so be it. It only taught her to undermine the bidding of those who lorded their power over others.
So, that's enough for today. You are all dismissed.
Okay, Naya. Abathar and I were going to be helping out with the children's temple lessons after school today, if you'd like to join.
Hey, Rowan, Abathar. You know, I really appreciate the invitation, but unfortunately I have an appointment I can't miss, so I'll have to pass.
What about tomorrow? There's a lesson every day this week.
Look, let's be honest. I am nowhere near as qualified to teach as you two are. No one wants kids learning religious lessons from me.
You're a high watch. Can you imagine what the kids would think to receive their lesson from the daughter of two Margraves?
In fact, I can, and that's precisely why I'd rather not.
Well, we're sorry to bother you. Perhaps we'll see you at the festival.
I'll be on the lookout for you.
The three parted ways for their respective engagements. Naya went to the towering oak tree behind the library. Waiting for her there was the familiar, arrogant face, Benedict Drakos.
High Watch.
A few years ago, a peculiar flower with a strong aroma sprouted of its own accord in her secret garden. She thought little of it until her adolescent years, when she caught the smell of it at a classmate's party. They called it Tangleroot. In the months that followed, she combined her disdain for authority with her unparalleled green thumb to build a surreptitious reputation all her own among the circles who indulged in the plant's mind-altering effects.
Gods, I have a first name, you know. Hello to you too, Benedict.
I don't care about your niceties. I don't want to be seen with you. I can't let my father find out about this.
If I'm that much of a problem for you, I can refer you to one of my compatriots, and you can politely screw off.
Don't act like you're doing me a favor. I'm paying you, remember? I don't even understand why. You must be such a disappointment to your parents that they've barred you from their fortune or something.
You're an unpleasant person. Do you know that you're an unpleasant person?
Naya reached deep into her satchel, a worn brown rucksack that had faint botanical motifs pressed into the leather. Her arm disappeared up to the shoulder in the small bag, which made no spatial sense, Benedict briefly noted.
Here we go. Oh, not so fast. Coin. And?
Oh, for God's... Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a lovely day.
It was the afternoon, and Sabin Gestalt should have been in class. Instead, he walked the fairgrounds as merchants and performers set up their booths and tents for the coming festivities. Blackwood was a week out from its annual harvest festival in honor of the goddess Calpurnia, the largest of such festivities in the nation. Sabin cared little for the festival. In his experience, the price to enjoy it was much higher than he could ever afford. Unlike many of his classmates, he had no rich parents to support such frivolous activities. No parents at all, in fact. Just a grumpy old mentor who forced him into college.
Hey, kid!
A burly man with red hair called.
Mind lending a hand here?
The man stood on a ladder holding a heavy wooden sign. Half of it had fallen from its position, leaving him with the full weight.
Sure, but wasn't it for me?
Oh, that's how it is. Fine. I have a nice juicy turkey leg I can roast up for you. Deal?
Deal. Patrick Redmeat's parade of meat? Are you Patrick?
Yep.
So, is Redmeat like a family name or like a pseudonym?
Yep.
What?
Well, thank you for your help,
Saban.
Thank you, Saban. You saved me some trouble. Give me a moment. I'll get you that leg.
Minutes later, Saban sat behind the booths, munching on his turkey leg, with his book open on his lap. It contained the teachings of a long-dead monastic tradition. While the religious and meditative information bored Saban, the martial art teachings inside formed the backbone of his combat knowledge.
Huh. I didn't know you could read.
A couple yards away, Benedict leaned against a pole, smoking some of the tangle root he purchased earlier.
Don't you have someplace better to be? Like a grave?
Please, Saban. We have a family tomb. You seem to be right where you belong. In the filth.
You don't know me.
Saban, come on. It's clear the greatest thing of value about you is that brooch on your chest.
Listen here, you prick.
What? You want to start something? You should be cautious. Unlike you, I'm not weak and malnourished.
I'll show you weak.
Hey! What's going on here?
Everything's fine, sir. Just a spirited debate.
With a suspicious eye, Patrick Redmeat returned to his booth.
I'm not through with you.
Nor I with you.
Next week, same place, while everyone else is busy with the Harvest Festival.
I look forward to it, street rat.
It's late afternoon, and Rowan and Abathar finished their classes for the day. True to their word, they crossed town to the Temple of Calpurnia for after-school lessons. Assembled in the temple's meeting room were a dozen children sitting cross-legged on mats.
Children, Abathar and I have very exciting news. You all will be participating in the opening ceremony of the Harvest Festival.
Settle down. While it will be very exciting to be up on the stage, it's not all play. The children's harvest is a ritual dating back to the very beginning of the Harvest Festival. Rowan and I participated ourselves.
Long ago, the lucky kids like you got to perform it in front of the king and queen from the land beyond the wall.
Unfortunately, there will be no royalty at the Harvest Festival. But the Margraves of the oligarchy will all be there. However, that is unimportant. What is important is venerating our goddess Calpurnia and thanking her for the bountiful harvest.
Which does involve fun costumes and a great show. Now, let's try on the costumes and find which parts suit you.
After about an hour of teaching and playing with the children, their parents returned to take them home. At this time, Rowan and Abathar spotted their priest, Father Uriel, speaking with a tall, important-looking man.
Abathar, is that Margrave Dracos?
Yes. That is. What is he doing here? Isn't Benedict an only child?
As far as I know.
Excuse me, Father. I don't mean to pry, but what did Margrave Dracos want?
He came on behalf of the council to speak to me about the festival's opening prayer.
What about it?
He and some of the other members of the council would prefer it if the children's harvest be cut so that the festival may begin sooner.
That's absurd. The festival is not about making coin, it's about celebrating Calpurnia.
I know that, Abathar. As do they. But Margrave Dracos and Margrave's Highwatch are the largest donors of the temple. Without them, classes like the one you just gave could not exist. Unfortunately, my hands are tied. But please, Forget about all this. A minor thing. That's all.
It was night. The university called Morrow Stone was closed for the day. The students whose families could afford dorms like Naya, or receive scholarships for housing like Atara, returned to their rooms for the night. Rowan and Abathar crossed town to their hut at the edge of the wood. There, Rowan's mother, Ianthe, prepared them a meal after her day of work. Saban chose to return to the hovel he shared with his mentor that night, but late, to ensure the old man would not be awake when Saban arrived. Slowly, each drifted off to sleep. A dream of fire and death filled the night. A frightened deer drowned in a violet pool. The silhouette of a man watching over. Then, the all-consuming wall of fire. Legacy Saga is produced by Welcome Mat Radio, written and narrated by me, the artist currently known as Massimo Napoli, sound design and audio engineering by Austin Olivia Kendrick, additional sound editing by Sam Trout, vocal direction by Matthew Moore, music direction and composition by Emma Whitley and Mackin Carroll. Full cast lists can be found in the episode description. For more detailed information about the show, visit our website, WelcomeMatRadio.com, or follow us on Instagram and TikTok at WelcomeMatRadio, or on Twitter at Matt_welcome. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to tell us what you think over on Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice so you don't miss out on the story.